I'm going deep at the monocule. If it's the only thing I ever do, the car is where I sleep. Think that I might need a 62.
Welcome back to Any Given Monday. Really excited about this week's podcast. Talked to Andrew Yoon, who was on tour in 2018 and then lost his status. But also we talked to his wife, Lucy, who was a former Symetra Tour player. And they both give great insight into what it's like off the course also. They went from planning their wedding while Andrew was on the PGA Tour. And by the time they had their wedding, he had lost all of his status and was headed to the McKinsey Tour. So they just talk about what it's like off the course and the conversations they have. I think you'll find it interesting. She was caddying for him in 2019 or late 18 when he had lost his tour card and was at McKinsey Tour Q School and wasn't playing well. And before the final round, he was crying. You know, in 1 year, 14 months, he had gone from PGA Tour to about to miss his card at the McKinsey Tour. So it's really just great insight into what it's like off the course as much as on, and how you have to find that separation. And they also talk about the time that he money qualified last year and that missed the birth of his baby and what that conversation was like and why she pushed him to go. So it's really insightful. It's very honest, and I thank both of them for coming on. Look forward to it. Before we get into it, just want to talk about Chris Mello and Good Walk Coffee. Just been a huge part of what I'm doing, and it's so nice to have a sponsor and a company that just lugs what the vision that I have for the stories to tell. Chris and I talk often versus via text and on the phone about what's next, and I just can't thank him enough for his support and look forward to a long relationship with him. So here's a quick word from Chris, and after I'll have a promotion code.
We saw that there are plenty of people making great coffees, and a lot of the coffee companies solely base their brand around the quality of their coffee. But we knew quality coffee was just going to be the cost of entry for us. And so we wanted to make a coffee that someone could choose that also intersected with another passion point that they had. What made golf different when we thought about it was that it's beyond just a hobby. It's beyond a sport. It's something that envelops our whole lives, the lives of people involved in it, and is something that we thought that people would want to celebrate every time they opened a bag in the morning or had a cup of Good Walk Coffee.
So thanks again to Chris. Go to goodwalkcoffee.com. Use the promo code FIREPIT for 20% off everything. So thanks again to them. And without further ado, let's get to Andrew and his wife, Lucy.
Andrew Yoon and his wife, Lucy, guys. Thanks for being on.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks for having us.
All right, Andrew, first of all, let's start with congratulations. I mean, back to the Form Tour. So for those that don't know Andrew's career, PGA Korn Ferry status, and then PGA Tour status in 2018, lost his card. And then obviously pandemic happened, and it's hard to gain status. Back to the Form Tour, finished fourth. So back to Korn Ferry status. How does it feel, Andrew?
Yeah, it's been a long journey, right? And especially with COVID happening last year, and, you know, I had McKinsey Tour status and that season got canceled. And so really there was nothing to do last year. I saw you at a lot of Mondays, right? So yeah. That's pretty much what I did all year, that and some mini tour events. But I'm super grateful for, you know, to be in this position and to have some status locked up for next year on the Korn Ferry. And, you know, like I couldn't have done it without my wife, Lucy, and, you know, our family, and especially with our two young boys. And so it's been a long journey.
Let's go back to, I mean, we're going to skip a lot, Andrew, because obviously there's stuff leading up to 2018. But 2018, I mean, you had a bad year. You made three cuts on tour. And I think that's great insight. I use that season a lot to talk to people of like, you get to the PGA Tour and everyone thinks, oh, it's great. And now all of a sudden, literally the next year, you were at Q School for McKinsey Tour. Mm-hmm. It all can disappear quickly. What can you talk about? And Lucy, I'll ask you the same question after Andrew, is what does that year feel like? I mean, it's obviously great joy in getting to your dream of the PGA Tour. And then is there X amount of tournaments you're like, oh, shoot, I'm really struggling here. You put pressure on yourself. I mean, I assume all of those things happen.
Yeah, for sure. All of the above. You know, it's, I mean, the hard thing was like looking back at it, you know, I got my PGA Tour card, you know, for the 2018 season, but that season starts in 2017. And so it's such a short turnaround. And you guys are experiencing it this past week, right? With, you know, graduating from the Corn Ferry and like literally the next week they move on to the PGA Tour. And so, it's the same thing for me. I played on the web tour championship. Back then it was web.com tour instead of the Corn Ferry Tour. So I played that tour championship and then moved on to the PGA Tour the next week. And it's, you know, like I said, it's such a short turnaround. And honestly, I felt a little bit burnt out from all that golf. And I had a terrible fall. And that's the, you know, when you have a bad start to that PGA Tour season, you get reshuffled to the bottom of the category, which is what happened to me. And so you can't, it's hard to play in a lot of events early in the season, like early in that calendar year for 2018 it was for me. So it was, you know, I was kind of behind the eight ball there. And so it definitely puts a lot of pressure, you know, just because at that point you're like, oh man, like not only do I have to play well, make cuts and whatnot, but just to even get into the tournament was hard enough. And so I started playing better towards the end of the year. But by that time I was just, honestly, I was just thinking about the cut line. And so every tournament, every time I looked at the leaderboard, it's not that I was looking at the leaders, I was looking at what the cut line was, you know, because they always have the projected cut. And so, you know, when you're doing that, somehow your game always hovers around the cut line, it seems like.
Yeah.
And I think my last five tournaments, I missed it by a shot, each one. And so, you know, it's obviously unfortunate, but, you know, it was a good learning experience because mentally you just can't do that. You know, you got to play free. You got to play to win. And it definitely was it showed the example of that, of how mentally, you know, your play can dictate, can be dictated by how you think.
I mean, did you know enough, Andrew, about status and those kind of things that fall was going to, like the fact that you struggled in the fall, it was going to affect, I mean, I know, you know, a little bit, everybody mm-hmm. does a little bit, but did you realize like, I assume there's some sort of still, even when you struggle in those first few tournaments, like honeymoon phase of like, hey, I've made it to the tour. I get this whole year next year. Things will turn around. Or were you already stressed at the end of the calendar year 2017? Like, hey, I didn't take advantage of the fall. What's my 2018 going to look like?
I think a little bit of both, just because you do have like the rest of the season. You know, the fall was five tournaments. And so over the course of a season, it doesn't sound like much, but then again, since I didn't play well, it was just a matter of trying to get into tournaments. And back then, I mean, I played 22 tournaments, which was actually plenty of opportunities. Like, mm-hmm. I think guys, like, you know, these past few years, they've had it a lot more tougher if they were in my situation, where at the bottom of the category, where they maybe get into like 16 or 15 tournaments. So it's not like I didn't have the opportunities, but still, like, especially early on in that calendar year, that's kind of when a lot of the it feels maybe a little bit smaller just with daylight and whatnot. And there's a lot of good tournaments where a lot of the good players play in. So it's just harder to get into. So mm-hmm. I was definitely like both, where I was like, okay, I still have the rest of the season to play. Like the summertime, I'll be playing a lot of tournaments, a lot of opposite field events and whatnot. But at the same time, it was still stressful trying to even get into the tournaments.
Lucy, what is that call like? I mean, I assume that the year, like, you know, I mean, Andrew's home on Friday afternoon or Friday night or Saturday morning too often. Like, I mean, is there a way that it doesn't affect like the home life? I mean, I know it's easy to say like, hey, you can separate golf, but it's his job. Mm-hmm. So if everyone has a bad day at work every day, I assume it has to affect everybody.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I feel like it's a little bit easier for me to understand because I played golf professionally as well. And so I know that when he comes home, I know that feeling of coming from a tournament or a Monday qualifier and not making through or not making the cut. I know how stressful that can be. And so I feel like For him, this season was helpful because he'd come home and instead of, you know, him feeling like he had to practice or him feeling like he had to go out on the course, I'd just tell him to just, you know, stay home with the kids and de-stress, and we'd make it as fun as possible so he wouldn't feel that stress at home as well. And so I feel like that was our main goal, was for him not to think about golf when he came home and just family time.
Is that a learning process for both of you? Because I assume, Andrew, and I mean, obviously, since you played professionally, that has to be a learning process too, right, Andrew? Like that you go play with the kids and not feel guilty that you're out grinding, or vice versa, you're out grinding and you can't feel guilty about not being at home, right? I mean, has to be some sort of mental balance there, right?
Yeah, and it's honestly, I'm still learning how to do that. You know, it's obviously not going to be, you know, it's not an overnight thing. And so, yeah, it's just, I think, especially growing up my whole life, everything has always been about golf for the most part, and everything's kind of revolved around it.
Yeah.
And now having these other responsibilities where I have, you know, my wife and then I have two boys, it's a different kind of responsibility, right? And so I feel like my priorities have shifted a little bit, and it's because of my priorities have shifted, it's like, oh, like, am I not into golf as much? And like, if anything, I still love the game. Like, if anything, I love it even more, you know, because I realize how good I had it. And just because of that lack of time that I've that I have these days with practicing, it's not lack of time, but it's just you have less time, right?
Right.
So I think you make the time more meaningful. And so it's whether it's time spent with my family or whether it's time spent on the golf course, I've definitely been a lot more focused and attentive. Whereas before, I was just kind of, it was just whatever, you know, just have all the time in the world.
So let's talk about the end of 2018, guys. So I don't know exactly what you finished, Andrew, like outside the top 200, automatically, like, have to go back to Q school. You missed there. And then is there ever conversations about, I mean, you have a family at this point, like, stop playing. What was the end of 2018 look like for both of you? Like, you know, there has to be, I mean, there has to be a conversation of like, hey, you know, especially after you miss at Q school, like, this is going to be a two, obviously didn't know COVID was going to happen, but it's going to be a 2-year process at the minimum to get back to tour. What are those conversations like?
Pretty scary. You know, it's not something that you enjoy, you know, something that we had to like sit down and really talk with each other about, like, what does our future look like? And especially we got married at the end of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So we got married at in December. And so it was kind of like, it was a little bittersweet.
Yeah.
Right. Because, you know, the whole season I was working on this and we're planning our wedding. And then all of a sudden it's like, we get married, but like, I have no status. I have basically have no job. Yeah. And so Lucy was just super supportive. And if anything, I had my doubts, but I think she had my back the whole time. And so that gave me a lot more comfort and peace, like, in knowing that I could still pursue this and still do this. Like, without that, it was just, I think the conversation would be a lot different.
And in 2018, we were still discussing if I was going to play because I had some Metro status and because he was struggling a little bit out on tour, I put like a pause to my tournaments and traveled with him for a little bit for support, but the year didn't end as we expected. And so for me, we weren't married yet. And so we had to decide, like, what is he going to do now? Because Q school didn't go through to web, back on the web. And so we were like, are you going to do Latin America or are you going to do McKenzie? Like, what is the next step? And so we were just scrambling to figure out what we were both going to do.
I mean, I assume that's an adjustment, right, guys? I mean,
yeah.
At the beginning of 2018, you're on the tour. You think like, hey, I'm going to keep my card.
Yeah.
If you stop playing, Lucy, then could travel with him, those kind of things. And all of a sudden you're back to like McKenzie, where obviously it just doesn't make sense to, I mean, I'm sure you may have gone up for a tournament or two, but it just doesn't make sense financially to just travel all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this is a perfect example of what I was talking about, is like, that is just such an adjustment in life, right? I mean, it doesn't matter about golf. Like, golf is obviously the core of why you guys were in this position and now working your way back. But it has to be, I mean, there has to be difficult conversations happening like along this route, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, it's not something that we just have like once a year. It's something that like it happens pretty frequently, you know, maybe once a month or once every other week kind of thing. And it was funny because like we were doing McKenzie Tour Q School and Lucy was caddying for me then. And it was back in Arizona. And like before the start of the final round, I actually cried.
Yeah.
Because I was just thinking about where we were and then where we are at that moment. And at that time, like even for McKenzie Tour Q School, I was like kind of way out of it. Like it wasn't looking good that I was going to get any sort of status. But I mean, the last day played tough and I had a good final round and and then I got in on the 4-4-1 playoff to get the last spot. So, you know, it's just crazy how, I mean, that's golf right there in a nutshell. It's just, you just never know. And it's freaking hard. And there's a lot of down moments, a lot more than up moments. But, I mean, if you persevere, I think, you know, there's always something good that can happen.
Yeah. What's that conversation like? Let's go back to the final round prior to Q School. I mean, what's your feelings, Andrew? I mean, you're just like, hey, I mean, it has to just be kind of a, like a crash landing is too strong of a word, but like, I mean, you're 1 year removed from the PGA Tour and here you are thinking you're going to miss at the thing. I mean, it has to be a mental aspect of it as much as like, and I want to get to that part of like how you turned your game around back around is like it. Part of it is just like being okay with playing at McKenzie Q School. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think kind of the reality set in where it's like, man, like I'm like, there's a lot of good players out there and I'm struggling to get through McKenzie Tour Q School. Like, it's no joke how many good players there are and how many good golfers there are. And like, I've, you know, I feel like I'm pretty much the veteran now, like at these tours. And a lot of guys ask me like, oh, what was it like on the Corn Ferry or what was it like on the PGA Tour? And I'm like, dang, like I've been through it all. I've been at every single level now. But it's a process. And I think there's so many good players like at each tour. Like the best players on each tour, I feel like can compete on the PGA Tour on any given week. You know, it's just that the PGA Tour might be a little bit deeper.
Lucy, like as a former player, I assume it's a little easier to relate to all of this. I'm not sure that, I mean, obviously you have perspective that a lot of wives don't have as much as you guys know each other. I mean, I assume being a former player is a huge help in a relationship standpoint, not even like golf standpoint, just understand what he's going through.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I know how tiring it is to travel, to have a full season and to want to come home and just not do anything. So I think that really helped him because he already has so much on his plate as to, you know, financially support us and be there as a husband and then be there as a dad. And so I feel like at the end of the day, all I had to do was, because it's really tempting for me to just talk golf with him because I know the game so much. And so I think what helped us out was to just disconnect and just try to just enjoy family time as much as possible. But also it helped too that I know golf. So I could, you know, in the beginning of our struggles, I was able to caddy for him or, you know, help him out in that sense. And so I feel like it's been good. It's good and bad, you know, because it's hard sometimes.
You might know too much.
Yeah, when you know too much, sometimes it's tougher than not knowing at all. And so I've had my fair share of moments where I had to really bite my tongue. But I think knowing the game helps. It's more of an advantage than not knowing. Yeah. And so,
And those conversations have helped with Lucy because, like, I think one of the things that I was struggling with was putting. It's like, so that was like a strength of my game growing up. And so one of the reasons why I was able to make it to the PGA Tour was because of my putting. And then I get on the PGA Tour and I started experiencing some anxiety with my putting. And I just, you know, putting went from a strength to a weakness. And so it was like that I struggled with putting for maybe 2 to 3 years. And then, you know, like having these conversations with Lou and And then she was telling me, like, I think you should hire a sports psychologist, which was tough, because it was like, well, that's more money. Like,
yeah.
is that money that we have? Is that money that we'd be able to spend? And she's like, well, it's money that's going to be an investment for you, because if you want to get to that next level, it's probably something that you have to do. You know, it's like conversations like that, and her supporting me and, you know, me pulling the trigger and hiring a sports psychologist helped me overcome that and help my game kind of go back and, you know, get back to where it is now. And, you know, it's like, looking back, that's huge. Like, if we didn't do that, then I probably wouldn't be here right now.
I mean, that's a fine line you, like, every golfer, but especially couple with kids where finances are even, like, more difficult. I mean, money's just spread thinner.
Mm-hmm.
You have to walk that line, Andrew, of investing in yourself,
mm-hmm.
and giving yourself the best opportunity to get back while managing finances, right? I mean, mm-hmm. like you talked about, whatever the guy costs, it doesn't matter. It's like, you have to walk the fine line of whether you invest in your career or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think I would definitely recommend that, is like, invest in yourself, because that's money that is well spent, and that's money that will, you know, reap a lot more in the future.
Awesome. So COVID hits. I mean, you do get Canadian status or McKinsey status. Mm-hmm. COVID hits. Is there any, I mean, obviously everybody didn't know what that would look like. So mm-hmm. I assume at the beginning, it's like, oh, we're going to push on. But as that stretches and you're playing like outlaw events, Andrew, mm-hmm. again, it's probably just another for both of you. Is there any serious conversations about, like, what the hell are we doing? Or is it like, I mean, you got status and obviously you started playing well on outlaw, and like the game, it seemed to, at least from a distance, obviously I wasn't around, Andrew, but mm-hmm. like from a distance, it seemed like it had started to turn a corner, but there's nowhere to play. Are there any conversations, you know, serious conversations? I always say, like, players talk about quitting, walking off the 18th hole and they shot 76, but I'm saying, like, a sit down at the dinner table and say, like, hey, you know, this COVID thing might last. What, I'm not getting to the tour until 2022 at the earliest. What are we doing?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. We had a lot of those talks, and I had a lot of convincing Andrew to stop talking nonsense, and then a lot of tears were shed, because, you know, once you are married, it's doable. But once you bring another life, like once you have a kid, then your perspective just changes, mm-hmm. and you start freaking out more, and you have more anxiety because now you have to keep another person alive. And so there was a lot of, you know, going back and forth. Should he quit? Should he just find, like, a corporate job, you know, or should he do something on the side, what, during off season? Or, you know, should I work? Like, should we just leave the kids at daycare and, you know, work? Or there's a lot of going back and forth in that sense. But at the end, I think his heart was always in golf. And like he said, he loves the game. And so, you know, those were just ideas that always pop in your head, but he was never really able to, I guess, pull the trigger, because everything would just go back to golf. And it's funny, because every time he'd want to, or he'd talk about quitting, he'd have like an okay finish or a good finish. And so, you know, when you finish strong, it's harder to be like, okay, I'm done, right? It's easier to quit when it's really not going well. But once you're like, okay, I think this is it, and you win a tournament, or, you know, you get second place, then you're like, okay, maybe this isn't it, you know? And so there was a lot of back and forth going on, for sure.
It makes it sound like we should have this conversation like every week. Like something good will happen every week. But obviously, yeah, it's just, you know, that's just the nature of the beast of professional golf. And yeah. I think as a professional golfer, like, everyone has had those thoughts.
Oh, yeah.
I don't, like, unless you're like, you know, experience success right away. But I think for 99% of the golfers, they've all had that, and that's something that we definitely have struggled with too. And
yeah.
Like, honestly, we've struggled with it this year and this summer too, like, yeah. even though that I was, you know, playing somewhat decent on the form, a form tour. It's not something, I mean, it's still something that we were discussing, mm-hmm. and like, what would Q school look like, or life after Q school? And, you know, what if this happened and that happened? So, you know, you kind of play, you play a lot of the what if kind of scenarios. And, but yeah, in the meantime, we were like still trying to like stay in the present and just do the best that we can. And fortunately, like, you know, it was, it ended up being good enough. But yeah, you definitely played a lot of the what ifs.
Yeah.
So you made, you started chasing Mondays. I mean, there's no Q school, mm-hmm. there's no McKinsey tour. You started, started chasing Mondays. And obviously this could be a whole podcast by itself, but you're pregnant with your second child. You, you Monday into Punakana. Mm-hmm. Obviously the timeline, the Punakana Monday, for people listening that don't know the timeline, is 2 weeks mm-hmm. prior to a Monday, which is a little unusual. But obviously you guys knew the timeline.
Yes.
I mean, at the Monday. So is it a conversation of, I mean, is there a conversation of like, hey, if I go and I get through, I'm going to miss the birth? Or do you kind of address that after Andrew got through?
No, yeah, he, at first he was like, I'm not going to play the Monday, because I actually gave birth 2 weeks earlier than I was supposed to. So he's like, it's too close to your due date. And if I do make it, then it's not like he's in a different state. He's in a different, complete different country. And so he was like, you know, there's going to be the chance where I'm not going to be here. And so he was like going back and forth, like, should I sign up? Should I not sign up? And for me, I was like, I think if, I think it was a blessing in disguise that the qualifier was 2 weeks before the tournament, because we were able to prepare. And so once he made it, that was exciting news, because he had been so close to making a few times and he didn't. And of course, the ones he makes is like,
that one.
Yeah, it's that one, right?
Yeah, so, of course. Right.
One out of the 100 that I've made, or one of the 100 that I've tried. And the only one that I've made.
Yeah, and so we're like, okay, we have 2 weeks to try to get this baby out before. And so we did, we tried everything that we could, but obviously you can't induce that early. And, you know, we had to let nature take its course. But before he left, he was like, I don't think I'm going to go, because what if he comes? And we had a discussion and I was like, hey, listen, the best thing you can do is go out there and win. That's literally what I said.
No pressure.
And I was like,
win or miss the birth of your child. Right?
Yeah. You only have two options. And so I told him, you know, because I know how hard it is to Monday, and I know how hard he had been working to try to qualify. And you know, it obviously it's unheard of, or it's very rare for a Monday qualifier to win a PGA Tour event, you know, but I was like, you have a chance, we might as well do it, because it's, who knows, it's a chance that you don't really come across that very often. And so I was okay with him going. And in my mind, I was like, oh, maybe I can just hold this baby in for a little longer, you know? and so, yeah, I think I knew that it could happen, but I think deep down we both thought that it wasn't going to happen, because it was so early. And with my first child, he came after his due date. And so we're like, oh, okay, you know, maybe I'll be able to hold him in, but he was in a hurry.
The original due date was April 3rd or April 4th, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So something around that timeline. So it was a week after that tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just hoping he'll come on time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And obviously that wasn't the case. He decided to come early. And so I just had to FaceTime in while, you know, while she gave birth. And so there's not enough credit that's given to, you know, wives of professional golfers, you know? So,
yeah, I mean, this is a perfect example, right, guys? I mean, like I say it all the time, is like, people just don't see that. They saw your story, because you Monday'd in and you were in contention.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if you weren't in contention or you hadn't Monday'd in, no one would have seen your story. Like this kind of stuff kind of happened. Like if you missed the cut by four, I'm not sure anyone would have known your story.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I assume you guys saw, I think casual golf fans who have no idea of the story, I'm assuming you saw the comments of the story were obviously overwhelming, but there was obviously X amount that were like, oh, I'd never miss the birth of my kids or whatever. I mean, what do you say to those people? It's just like, there's no, like, this is a chance that, like, four good rounds and he almost did it can change your entire life. And if you're all in on Andrew being a professional golfer, it's just something you can't pass up. Is that how you guys felt? I mean, is that the discussion that happened?
Yeah, I would say so. And like, you know, there's so many things that were like, that were set up for this. Like, in, like Lucy was saying, it was in Dominican Republic and we live in Arizona. So, you know, if she were to go into labor, there's no chance that I would make it back in time, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like, there was that. And then there was the fact that, I mean, it wasn't Punta Cana, so like it was a web.com tour event before. So I played it twice, and then I played my rookie year in 2018. So I played there three times. So it's not like I was going to a brand new course without any information about it. Like it's somewhere that I've played tournament golf at. And so it was, you know, I felt comfortable there. It was a good opportunity. And so there were a lot of things like set up for that, but it's definitely, you know, it's tough because like Lucy understands how hard it is to do this and to be able to have that opportunity. But at the same time, I think that that makes it that much harder because she knows. And so.
And I think a lot of people probably think that, you know, I wasn't okay with him going and, you know, it was more Andrew being like, I have to go. But it was actually the other way around. It was me being like, he was the one saying, I'm not going to go. Mm-hmm. And I was the one like, just go. You know, because, I mean, not only did he Monday after not Mondaying and qualifying for I don't know how many Mondays he played in this year, but also, like you said, like he's the only one making money right now because I'm home with the kids, right? And that in itself is a job. And I look and he knows like how hard it is to take care of the kids at home. And I'm like, babe, golf is so much easier. Like if we could switch, if you could just be here with the kids and I golf, like
if the LPGA could have bigger pressures, we could switch it.
And so, you know, because he knows how hard it is and because I know how hard golf is, I was like, we're not missing this chance of you not only changing his life and his career, but for us, for our lives, mm-hmm. you know? And so, and I wouldn't be able to, I mean, I know this is crazy, but I know he missed the birth, but I don't know how happy I would be if he was here and, you know, didn't have a chance to.
Yeah. No matter what you guys picked, you're going to have something hanging over it, right? Like he either gave up an opportunity of a lifetime possibly, or he missed the birth of your kids. Like it's.
Exactly. And so for me, I was like, you know, we were prepared because like I said, we had 2 weeks to get ready for this. Mm-hmm. So I called my parents to come a little earlier because they live in LA and we're obviously in Arizona. And so my parents were able to come and, you know, the timeline worked perfectly. He left, my parents came. And then I think 2 or 3 days later, I went into labor. Mm-hmm. And so it's not like I was alone. My mom was in the delivery room with me. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole nother story. But, you know, all I said is, you know, if we do have a third and, you know, let's at least be on the PGA Tour then so that you can choose the tournaments that you can. Because, you know.
We don't want to go through that scenario again.
I mean, I think that's what people didn't understand about, like, obviously, if this was, you had your tour card, you would have never missed it in a minute.
Exactly, yeah.
But this isn't like that. And I mean, whatever you made, I didn't look it up. I mean, you were in contention, you made 20 grand or 25 grand or doesn't matter. Yeah. Like, I mean, that's an important check. I mean, I just caddied for Mark Baldwin who made 25 grand and at the Barracuda like that, that funds a large portion of your season. So it's it's hard to pass up those opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So going through this year, Andrew, and like, I mean, starting to play better, the Form Tour obviously like was quickly thrown together and obviously there was great events and I mean, the purses aren't great, but at least have a chance to get your status back. Is there something in your game that changed or is it just like again, you Monday, you started playing well during COVID on the Outlaw Tour. Mm-hmm. Like you were starting to, I assume, get your old game back little by little. Is there something specifically you can point to that changed or is it just like mentally you're like, reset, I have to climb back, or is it a combination of all those things?
Yeah, I mean, it's always a combination of all those things, right? Because I think they're all connected in one way. Like if you get mentally better than physically, your game, you know, you freeze yourself up to swing freely or putt freely and whatnot. So I think it's all connected. But I think one of the biggest things was what we were talking about earlier with putting, how it was a strength and then it became a weakness when I got to the PGA Tour. But I'm struggling with it for like 2 or 3 years. And finally, like with the help of Lucy, with the help of my mental coach, like embracing the fact that like, you know, sometimes like going back to certain things isn't always the best option. Like I was a good putter doing it like this, you know? And so like, I was like trying to go back to like certain, you know, certain styles, like certain grips or like, you know, I was like a left-hand low kind of thing. Right. So I was like, I used to putt well going left-hand low and it wasn't working, but I was like, if I stick with it, it'll start working, you know, because it worked before and it, you know, it wasn't working. And so I think like having that discussion with my mental coach and with Lucy, I was just like, it's not working. Like no matter what, like it's not translating from the practice screen to the golf course. Like when there's pressure, it doesn't hold up. And so like having these kind of conversations and like them telling me like, okay, like let's embrace change, you know, change is not always bad, you know, and change can be a good thing and you can always make it your own after you change something. And so, you know, I started dabbling with the claw grip a little bit, and some like different like putter heads to kind of match that. And so, you know, I was like, I think for a week straight, I was like dabbling with different, like different types of claw grips. Mm-hmm. And I found one that I like with like two fingers on the grip on my right hand. And so, I remember my first tournament was an Outlaw event back in September last year, almost a year ago, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think I won by 8. I think I shot like 64, 67, yeah, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, obviously I put it great. And so I was like, I think this could work. You know? And so, like ever since that, like I haven't really had any anxiety on the putting, like when I putt. And so, that was kind of a big shift back to where I was like, wow, this is like what I used to feel like, you know? And kind of going through that physical change definitely helped with that. And like it helped me mentally as well. It freed me up on the putting green a lot. And so I think putting went from being a weakness for 2 to 3 years and back to my strength. And so that was one of the biggest things this year that I did well. I putted well this year. Yeah. And so it helped me.
So you played well on the Forum Tour, had like 3 top 10s leading into your win. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's the phone call after, I mean, your win basically locked up your status. What is that phone call like? I mean, it has to be a lot of reflection. I know like people go like, oh, it's a Forum Tour, but like to have Korn Ferry status and be able to plan at least part of the year, obviously it'd be great if you played well at the mm-hmm. final stage and improved your status, but like mm-hmm. at the very least you have a place to play a mm-hmm. few events mm-hmm. next year. Like like you're a veteran, Andrew, like it has to be a lot of reflection. And I assume the phone call home, like you guys have both been through a lot to get to this point.
Yeah. I think I was like, I mean, the first thing is just relief, you know, it's something that we were working for, you know, this whole year, you know, that's kind of the end goal. And I mean, the first goal was to kind of make it to the Korn Ferry finals. Mm-hmm. And be yeah. able to, you know, especially after playing well over in Punta Cana, it's like maybe if I'm Monday into a couple more events and do well, then get into Korn Ferry finals. But as the backup plan to that was like to get Korn Ferry status and to be able to play out there. So, yeah, it was just a lot of relief and just a lot of gratitude, you know. And the first thing I thought of was just I was so thankful to my wife, to my family for, you know, supporting me throughout these past couple of years, because like we talked about it earlier, but I wouldn't have been able to do it without them. You know, there's so many times where you have that conversation where it's like, is this what I want to do next year? Is this what I want to keep on doing? Like, yes, I do. But then if I'm going on this path, then I don't think we can do it. So it's just, it's just a lot of gratitude and just a lot of thankfulness. And, you know, our faith is a huge part of that too. You know, just our faith in God and Jesus. And, you know, it was just a lot of, gratitude.
I think it was this form. I mean, I think people see the end result and they're like, oh, he got his Korn Ferry Tour card. Yes. But I think if you look at his, how he did on all the tournaments, it's like, it was a roller coaster because he'd get a top 10.
It was either a cut or a, yeah.
Exactly. So it's like, it's either like he wasn't even near making the cut or then he'd get a top 10, you know? So it's like, oh my goodness, are you even going to get top 10? Are you going to get, and then, you know, are you going to get top 5? Or, you know, so it was just like crazy for the whole season. And then, you know, second to last tournament, when he won, it was like, okay, we made it. We got at least that Korn Ferry status. And we were also kind of worried too, because he's been able to play these Monday qualifiers with his PGA Tour status. And next year he would have to pre-qualify. And so you know, that was one of my concerns, because ultimately every golfer's goal is PGA Tour, you know, like that's what you aim for. And obviously it takes steps and it's a process to get there. And some people get there faster than others. And for us, our main goal is PGA Tour, you know? And so if he wasn't going to be able to play those Mondays, which is like the direct, you know, the easiest way to make it on PGA Tour is Monday, and that kind of messed with our heads a little bit. But once he got that win, it was like, oh my goodness, like things are looking up. And so, yeah. And, you know, even on the last tournament, he barely made the cut. We were like, you know, there was weather, all these things happening. And I have never refreshed so much in my life, because I was like, oh, if he misses a cut, like, are you still going to get, like, are you projected to still get your Korn Ferry status and all that? And so it's definitely, if you look at the end result, it's yes, he got his Korn Ferry Tour card back, but it was even then it was a process to get to where he is. And so,
yeah, the conversations were pretty funny after every tournament. So, oh, I feel like I've got something down. And then the very next week, I missed the cut by about 5, I think. And then it's just like, I think I have to reinvent my game. Like, I think I have to change my whole swing.
Yeah. Like the roller coaster of a golf swing in an eight week season.
Exactly.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So
what, I mean, so for those that are listening that don't know, I mean, you'll get some starts with your fourth place in the form, but I mean, final stage is still pretty vital, Andrew, right? So what's the lead up to December look like, or whenever it is?
Yeah. I think it's the first week of November. They moved it up this year. And
yeah, that's right.
I'll just, in the meantime, right now, I'm just taking some off time, spending some time with the family, changing all the diapers right now, especially the
making up for the diapers you've missed.
Yeah. Oh yes.
Yeah. There's a lot more to go to. So that quota is not filled yet, but, and then I'll be playing some tournaments, just to get back into the competitive flow of things and, ramping it up.
Outlaw.
Yeah. I looked at the schedule. I don't know if they have like outlaw events right before Q school. So it might be some other ones. Like I have to kind of look or dig around and see what events they have out there. So, I want to play like one or two tournaments before to kind of see, you know, what my tendencies are, and then, work on the game from there. So that'll kind of be it.
I mean, from taking a break standpoint, I think there's a serious like point in there. It's like, you have to know like when to step away. I think when you're in, or at least from an outside perspective, like when you're in this struggle mode that you've been on, it's easy to just like grind and not ever have like a mental reset and just like put the clubs away for a week or only practice once a week or whatever that is. Like, I mean, is that just something you learn along the way, Andrew? I mean, you've been there and just like, hey, my game's going to be okay. I'm going to take 2 weeks off and hang out with the family or whatever that
is. You know, that's something that I've learned. Like, for example, when I got my PGA Tour card, I knew that, like, for me specifically, the more I tinker on the driving range, the worse I get, you know? But that's kind of the tendency that you have when you have a bad round or you don't play well, you just kind of go to the range and you start working on things, and all of a sudden 2-3 hours fly by. And so that was my tendency. And then, like, I didn't play any better, like, after doing that. If anything, I played worse. And so when I made it to the PGA Tour that season, before the season started, I was like, I'm going to give myself 15 minutes before or after a round max to practice. And that's not to say like not to work on my game or anything, but it's like knowing who I am and knowing my tendencies, like I'm not going to get better like spending hours on the driving range during a tournament. Like that's, I'm just going to start tinkering around and like, I'm not going to find anything for the most part. And so, it's kind of just playing with what you have, you know, dancing with the girl that you brought kind of thing. And so that was the mindset. And that's, that helped me a lot, you know, cause mentally, like it allowed me to trust in my game more and it forced me to do that. And so, and now like with the family, it kind of forces you, you know, you're not going to bring a bad round to the back home cause it doesn't really matter, you know? It's like I see my boys, they don't really care what I shoot, you know? They just want me around to jump on and to play with. And so it forced that upon me as well when I'm, you know, with the family. And so that's been huge, I think, for mentally just being able to, like you said, reset and just get your mind away from it.
Yeah.
So what's next year look like? I mean, obviously it depends on final stage, but assuming you get some sort of status, Lucy, are you going to be able to get to any tournaments or are you guys kind of just do this on a week to week basis?
I think for now it'll be week to week just because I think traveling with two boys is just going to be crazy.
Trust me, it is. Two kids.
Yeah. And that's another thing I told them, you know, hurry up and get on the PGA Tour because they have daycare there. Or they have, the, you know, so I can just leave the kids there and go watch him or something. But for now, it's looking like we're just going to have to, especially the beginning of Korn Ferry, it's all international. There's no way we'd be able to make those, survive those flights with two boys. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely I want to try, if he gets better status and he can play in all those events, we'd travel more and kind of be able to see which tournaments would work best. And his family, my family definitely miss watching him. And so I think that would be fun too. And for now, I'm just glad that he has that status. Cause then, you know, if he still had Mackenzie and had to go back and forth to Canada, that would make things a little tougher. And yeah, so we'll see from there, but for now it's looking like we're just going to take it week by week.
Yeah. And again, we could do another pod with you guys, but Andrew's parents used to own, you guys lived in Washington, mm-hmm. on some convenience stores. They sold it, ordered to like get you down to Arizona and play all year long. Your mm-hmm. dad, every time I've seen you, your dad's on the bag. Is that the plan for next year, Andrew? Will your dad be on the bag or kind of just play that by ear?
No, he said this is his one and only season.
he gave up. All right.
Yeah, I think he's still.
Did you get fired? Or did you get fired? Or did you fire him?
He fired himself. He was resigned. Like, yeah, he fired Andrew as a player. He's like, I'm done.
Yeah, he gave a big sigh of relief on our last hole of the form tour season, and so I think he was tapped out. But that was something that we discussed. He was like, you know, this is something that I want to help you on your journey, like in this summer. You know, it's only 8 tournaments, and so it was great that he was able to do that. You know, and it was fun because it felt like, you know, it was like one of the few opportunities that we would have to like spend a lot of time together, you know, on the golf course and, you know, just walk together. And, you know, he loved it too. He said it was exercise for him. And so he was, you know, it was helping him to get back into shape. And it was just, it was good. It was a good time to, good quality time to just bond with my dad. And, but yeah, that's about it. He's like, you find a caddy for third stage.
He'll be on the bag. I know it. Yeah. Not for final stage. Guys, thank you. I mean, I know it's not easy to share stuff that happens behind the scenes. So I can't thank you enough. I think it's great insight to what families, you know, and players, you know, both the the guilt of not being there all the time and trying to support someone's career. So I really appreciate your time. It's awesome. And Andrew, you know, I'm a fan. Look forward to seeing you. I'll be at final stage. So I'll see you there, but forward to you like finishing in the top 25 and getting back to tour.
Sounds good. Thanks for sharing our story.
Yeah. Thank you. We had so much fun. This was amazing.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thanks again to Andrew and his wife Lucy. Look forward to Andrew's year on the Korn Ferry Tour in 2022. See what he can do fighting his way back to the PGA Tour. Thanks again to them. Thanks everybody for listening. And until next week, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks again to Good Walk Coffee for supporting me. I just can't thank them enough. Go to goodwalkcoffee.com and use the promo code FIREPIT for 20% off your complete order.